kind of off the charts in terms of what he can do from a physical standpoint. So there was a lot of things that stood out for him. You know, he's another guy. We'll get him here and throw him in the mix with the guys we got in the secondary and then figure it out at that point in time.
When you work him out, do you do drills differently for him to evaluate his corner skills?
Now, when you work out DBs, it's a DB workout. So every skill is, you know, kind of highlighted. Ball skills, change of direction, back pedal, ability to flip your hips, all those things are highlighted, whether you're a safety or whether you're, you know, it's really basically almost most teams do kind of use the same workout, whatever DB you're looking at. So.
Did you get a little nervous with why you moved up?
Yeah, we were working it a little bit there. Yeah, we felt, and, you know, he was the guy we wanted all along. You know, I wouldn't have been surprised if he went a lot earlier. You know, we kind of had him and Byron Jones were the two guys we really kind of targeted. Obviously, when Byron went off the board really early, we were nearly nervous and just hoping that there was a chance he could fall, and it worked out for us. So.
Was there a specific matchup with tight ends like Graham and Gronkowski?
He's a taller, longer guy, so you know you hope those are the things. But we'll get him in here and look at everything he can do. The fact that he's got that many starts under his belt, that safety, but then really excelled this last year at corner I think was kind of very intriguing to us.
Was there a team that you thought that you had to get ahead of?
I don't know if it was get ahead of, because what was going on is a lot of people were trading up. So if you looked at the board and said, hey, I think they need a corner, then all of a sudden you look up and someone jumped them and took that spot. So there was a couple more trades ahead of us where you were interested and you're like, okay, I don't look. You know, you look at a team, hey, maybe they took a corner in the first round, you feel pretty good, but then someone jumps into that spot, you know, so you really can't predict what's going on. There's a lot of phone calling going on around the league, it seems like, right now in the second round. Yeah.
Was Miami the first team you looked at, or had you tried to do this?
No, we were working for a while.
The scheme-specific skills at safety, does he have those to fit in your
Yeah, team? And I mean, that's what we're looking for. We're looking for safeties that can cover, and this kid played actually corner. You know, so he's got those skills, and he can play corner. You know, so we'll figure out exactly where he fits, but he may start out at corner for us. You know, we've got a lot of time here, but you know, it was getting what we felt was the best secondary guy out there for what we do, and that's what he was the guy we targeted since the draft ended last night. That's the guy we wanted.
When he was at safety, did he do a lot of single high and play center field?
Yeah, he played free safety. Started 33 games at free safety. Started 3 games at strong safety. So he's done it both. He's been down in the box, and he's been a high safety, and he's also played obviously corner. So you know, really, the one guy that was kind of prototypical in what we're looking for as a defensive player is what in the secondary was Eric. No, I mean, you always have a wish list kind of going into it, but you also, and I think I said it yesterday, when need crosses over the talent line, I think that's when you get in trouble because you're reaching. So we had a very, very high grade on Eric. You know, if we ever traded back, he was a guy that we really targeted if we were going to move back yesterday, you know, in terms of being able to get. So, you know, we were fortunate enough in terms of what we felt about him to get him where we did.
Other defensive back prospects or safety prospects have talked before about how you guys brought him in and have them, you know, watch film and, you know, tell you what you see and how they can read offense. How do you do in that regard?
He's outstanding, you know, really strong from a mental standpoint. He's got a very good football IQ. You know, I think those are some of the things that stood out with him, and I think his ability to recall what they did at Utah when you put the tape on, tell you the coverage, explain it, but not only explain it from the safety position, but explain it from a corner position. You know, a lot of times they're a byproduct of their experience, so they don't know what it's like when you kind of move them outside, but he can do that because he actually has done it, you know, in games. So.
Chip, you said that was the guy you wanted. How do you get a feel for where he might go?
You really don't. I mean, it starts on what price are you willing to pay? You know, what do you have to really move? And really, it's just picks. So, you know, what are we willing to give up? You know, we didn't want to give up a third or a fourth if we didn't have to. And obviously we didn't. I think a lot of times you offer something to a team and they come back with a counter offer and say, what about this? Well, we're not going to do that. You know, that's too much. That's too expensive for us to make that move. So it worked out in terms of, you know, trading the 2 5s, but getting a 6 back. So it's really, we lost one player.
Did you try to trade earlier?
Yeah, we tried to trade a lot earlier.
You said one or too much.
Yeah, that's kind of how it works with everybody. Just like when we were on the clock at 20 yesterday, we fielded a lot of calls, but we didn't feel like it was enough. There wasn't enough offered for us to say, okay, we'll take that to move back. You know, because if you take it and move back, you know, the player you want may not be there when you move back. You kind of, there's that, you can't predict it, so it's a little bit unpredictable. So
when
let me start here, and I'll come right to Ruth.
When Dan was met with us about a week and a half ago, he said he was still kind of getting used to calling around the league and doing trades and stuff. Is he making the majority of the calls so far tonight?
We split that up. You know, I think we've done a really good job of delegating wherever it is. I know Rick Mueller and Lewis Clark are on the phones when they're Ed's on the phones, I'm on the phone, so it's really just kind of how it comes in. Because a lot of times, you know, you're trying to get involved with something, but then someone's calling you, so there's three or four phone lines going on at once. So, but it's very organized up there, not very chaotic at all. So I thought we did a really good job in terms of handling this and getting out of it what we really want to get out of it. And starting yesterday when the draft ended, he was a priority for us getting up, you know, as we came in here today and talked about our strategy. What are we going to do? What are we willing to give up to go get that player? And is it too expensive? And there were, you know, we had opportunities to move up, but it was just too expensive. And we felt like we want, you know, we really want to keep our third pick, really want to keep our fourth pick. So,
when you say he's off the charts from a physical standpoint, what specifically do you
see? He ran 4.45 in the 40. He was a 3.94 in the short shuttle. He had one of the best three cones at the combine. 39 inches in the vertical jump, I think 20 reps in the bench press. I mean, when you look at from a height, weight, speed factor, he was in the top 25% of all the defensive backs that were out there, and I think in most cases in the top 10%.
And you see that on tape too?
Yeah, you can see that. It's evident that he's got a skill set.
Did you think Jones would be available in the second round?
Byron Jones?
Yeah.
No. We felt if we moved back, he would probably be there, but we thought he would probably go on the first day.
When you look at value and what's too much to give up, do you use the old trade charter? I mean, how do you?
We have a trade chart. I think it's changed a little bit with the new CBA, and there's a formula in there. There's math involved in it, so we have a computer doing it. Because that's why I was just going to finish. Is I was told there would be no math, so we have a computer that actually computes that for us. So you just say what's two fives in this, and then you hit a button, and it comes right up, and you're like, oh, it's pretty good. Is it a negative number or a positive number? So if it's a positive number, we would agree to it. When it's a negative number, But if you're buying, you may have to give a couple points. If you're selling, you obviously want to get a couple back. So
I don't think Oregon played against Utah in 2012. Did you have exposure to him at all?
On the field, no, I didn't play. We didn't play against when I played. The only game we played against Utah, he was still in high school. So I did not see him in person. No.
On film for cross opponents, did you see him? As a college coach, like did he catch your eye earlier on in the draft process?
No. When I was at Oregon, I wasn't scouting for the NFL, so I wasn't really looking to.
No, but you can see someone.
But we were never going to play Utah, so I would never look at him and say, hey, you know, there's a guy. You really got to take a look at him and say, who's that safety? Because there's a two-game stretch here where you don't play them, so, you know, until it's 2 years out, so I didn't really think of it. So.
What about the Senior Bowl?
I thought he fared very well at the Senior Bowl, you know, and I think that's really where the first time we got first live action look at him. He was a guy that we had identified. Our scouts, Trey Brown, did a great job kind of laying the groundwork. And one of the first, you know, when we were out there and we had our first initial meetings before we went to the Senior Bowl, certainly a guy we had to keep an eye on. We had a lot of people really take a good hard look at him at the Senior Bowl. And that was our real, for our coaching staff and Ed and myself and the other scouts besides Trey, that was our real first exposure to him. And we were impressed with him from then.
Chip, I think there was a similarly sized and built prospect last year from Utah that played cornerback safety, Keith McGill. I don't know if you scouted him or remember.
Yeah, I know Keith McGill. He was a little bit taller, a little bit longer.
While you were looking at Keith, did Eric kind of pop out also, even though he was not coming?
No, we're really just focusing on that class, you know, so we don't really start looking at the next group until you start, you know, the next class, so.
What are his strengths specifically as a corner, pressing, ball skills?
Yeah, he's a press corner. He's that big physical press corner we're looking for. He's over 205 pounds, long arms, physical. You know, and I think that's why Utah moved him outside. They felt like that he had the skill set, and it was a good move by Kyle in terms of doing it. And really one of the better defensive coaches in college football, Kyle Whittingham at Utah, and just really raved about him. I was out there for his pro day with Ed, and then Corey actually went back out and did a private workout with him. So
you're down to seven picks now. Do you want to try to get another one back?
Yeah. I mean, philosophically, you always want to get picks back, but I think you don't want to sacrifice if there's someone that you want. So you really just got to look how what's left on the board and then, you know, hey, we got a shot at getting them. You know, there's couples that we sweated out. You know, Eric is the guy we really sweated out. Is he still going to be there? Is he still going to be there? Is he still going to be there? So you really just see how it expresses itself and what's gone off the board, you know. Philosophically, you always want more picks, but you're not just going to say, hey, we're taking picks for the sake of taking picks. If there's someone you really want, we're going to take them.
So a couple more guys, two more?
The last couple of years, the guys that you brought in for a lot of dirty business, how valuable have those been to you as far as either enforcing your lot of these guys were just the opposite?
I think they're really valuable. I think anytime you get an exposure, you get a better idea of what they're all about, you know. And I know some people, and Ed mentioned the other, you know, use them as smoke screens or things like that. I'm not, you know, we're not into that. I want to find out as much as we possibly can about each individual prospect so that when we're really involved in kind of looking at them is that we're making accurate decisions. As our kind of mantra is that we don't care who we don't get. We care very much who we do get, you know. So everybody's always, oh, we should have had that guy. We should have had that guy. We better really know about the guy we get, you know, and that's where we're trying to dig deeper and work even harder at knowing everything about those guys and trying to get out as many times. If we don't bring them in here for a top 30, then we're certainly going to see them at their place. And just visiting with them, I think their scouts, you know, really did a really good job in terms of getting all the background information, because the tape is the tape. You know, I think anybody can look at the tape, but then you have to dig and really figure out how do they fit in terms of what we're trying to build here. And, you know, Eric is a lot like Nelson. You'll get a chance to meet him tomorrow. And you can kind of see what he's like as a person and his character and all those other things. And that's integral in what we're doing. But the only way you're going to do that is you have to go find out, you know, whether you're bringing them in here or you're getting on a plane and going to see them at their place. So,
Jim, you've taken, like, I think the space of 9 at 12 guys since you've taken over. I mean, is it just because you've seen these guys and you're familiar with them?
No, I mean, I never saw it. This one, you know, I mean, you guys are going to write anything you want, so I don't care. Pac-12, Utah's close to Oregon geographically. I mean, I don't know. Maybe there's vowels in the names or whatever. I mean, I think they're all good football players, and that's why we selected them. So we don't specifically look at one side or another side. We just – there's also really good football. There's a lot of Pac-12 players that were selected last night that we didn't take. You know, I think Washington had 3 in the first round. Oregon had 2 guys taken in the first round last night, and we didn't take them, actually. So. Yeah, we haven't taken Jake Fisher, you know, yet. All right, guys. Thanks.